It's 86 days to the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. Good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM live on myjoyonline.com. We're live in all 16 regions. Bedering FM in Bumpurugu, A1 Radio, Dreams FM in Bogatanga. We are on Lolonyo FM in Hohoi. Live on X Spaces. We are live on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams. This afternoon, President Akufo-Addo orders police and contemplates potential military deployment to crack down on illegal small scale mining amid growing calls for immediate action.
Regular law enforcement apparatus for the state, which is the Ghana Police Service, should be the first port of call. If the need arises, we will take it a step further to the armed forces.
But will government impose a ban on small scale mining?
Nothing matters to us than a concerted effort to bring a halt to this injustice.
So if you announce a ban tomorrow, you have to look at the consequences on the national economy, which obviously will be catastrophic.
We'll get to hear from those advocating for the ban while the Lands and Natural Resources Minister reveals resistance to the measures from some NPP members less than 3 months before the elections.
3 months to an election. Why are you talking about ramping up enforcement mechanisms? Why are you talking about deploying law enforcement officials into the field to deal with illegal small scale mining? That is, if you want, kissing the election before we even begin the campaign.
Also this afternoon, cocoa farmer groups divided over government's decision to increase the farm gate price of cocoa to 3,000 cedis from the previous 2,070 cedis.
The price that was announced has brought a lot of confusion among the farmers because the farmer groups have been divided, and then others are calling for 6,000, others are calling for 5,000, others are calling for 7,000, others also are saying that the price that came is good.
And we'll get to hear from the Food and Agri Minister, who says Cocoa Board is not broke.
Cocoa Board is well positioned to buy its crops from its farmers and trade same. Nowhere has government reported or Cocoa Board mentioned that he has no money to buy cocoa.
We'll get to hear the campaign trail and join Dr. Mahmoud Baumia at the Lijokuku constituency, where he's promising to reduce electricity tariffs by 50%. Meanwhile, disgruntled Aguna West MP Cynthia Morrison reveals she was punished for supporting Kennedy Japon's presidential bid.
They hooted at me. They swept with broom. Nobody called me until they heard I was going independent.
Are you suggesting that some of this mafia work you speak of happened within the parliamentary primary? Against you?
I know, because I supported Kennedy Japon. That one I know.
We have details of that. We have sports.
Sports Ministry directs Ghana FA to seek CAF's approval for Accra and Legon Stadium for Black Stars' AFCON qualify in October.
And we have our Visible series. We bring you the story of a senior high school student with visual impairment who refuses to let discrimination stand in her way of becoming a lawyer.
Some of them also hate us naturally. I came together with my colleagues. We advise each other, encourage each other to show the world that they are also useful. So I'm standing to become a lawyer or a human rights activist.
That and more in this afternoon's edition of the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. Please do stay on for details. Many thanks for your company. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. And the hashtag No to Galamse is still on. And this afternoon, President Akufo-Addo has ordered the deployment of the police and the military to crack down on illegal small-scale mining as calls grow for action. The decision was taken after a national security meeting to assess the impact of Galamse on river bodies and the environment. Organized labor yesterday issued a stern warning to the government, threatening a nationwide strike by the end of September if decisive action is not taken to address the escalating Galamsey crisis. Other groups, including religious leaders, have voiced same sentiment. But speaking at a media engagement last night, the Lands and Natural Resources Minister said the president has also directed the decommissioning of illegal mining equipment if necessary.
So the various regional security councils have been tasked to conduct recognizance, scrutiny of their various traditions, and begin to roll out suits and enhance the enforcement regime, the details of which I think we all agree I should withhold for the time being. But in the days and weeks to come, we will see a heightened or ramped up enforcement. We decided that we should use local resources. In other words, the resources at the disposal of the various websites. Because as you know, the websites have police, they have military, they have this, they have that. The regular law enforcement apparatus for the state, which is the Ghana Police Service, should be the first port of call. If the need arises, we will take it a step further to the armed forces. If the need arises, we will possibly begin once again the extraordinary measure of decommissioning equipment used for illegal small scale mining. The Minerals Commission is also to double up its reformative measures.
Well, among the major calls that have come in is a temporal ban on small-scale mining. We can hear the Deputy Secretary General of the Federation of Labour, Kenneth Thompson.
We have a situation where there are litany of men and women who are going through a dialysis as a result of the polluted water bodies. Cancer cases have increased astronomically, stillbirth, deformities in birth. Do you want a situation where we should wait for all our children and the children that will be giving birth when your eye is at your back, your nostrils is in at the side of your ears, your ear in the center of your head before you say you are in crisis? Nothing matters to us than a concerted effort to bring a halt to this injustice and this wickedness perpetrated on Ghanaians.
But the Lands and Natural Resources Minister, Samuel Abujinapo, says the economy will collapse if a ban is imposed on mining.
As of June, gold alone accounted for 54% of our foreign exchange earnings as a country. Small-scale mining accounts for 40% of our gold output. So if you take 40% out of 100%, it means that our foreign exchange earnings will deplete by 40%. There are people who are involved in responsible small-scale mining who have invested millions of cedis and millions of dollars, who are mining responsibly, who are reclaiming the landscape, who are contributing to our national economy, who are employing hundreds and thousands of Ghanaian youth who have committed no crime. So if you announce a ban tomorrow, it means that you have to look at the consequences on the national economy, which obviously will be catastrophic, which will be literally rendering our country bankrupt if you want. You have to look at the investment of these people. You have to look at the employment of Ghanaians. On top of it, we have gone down that road before. Think that we should be fighting illegal small-scale mining or take the approach of banning small-scale mining, then you will still have the illegalities anyway. There's no guarantee that if you ban small-scale mining, the illegal small-scale miners will still not persevere or persist. So I'm reluctant to give a definitive position on this matter. I think the discussion should go on. But it's not as simple as ban small-scale mining, all forms of small-scale mining.
Well, we'll get to hear reactions to this shortly, but the Lands and Natural Resources Minister is also revealing that there's pressure from members of the NPP against the government's new action against illegal mining.
So some members of the ruling party who will step out online and step out into the public domain and say this government is losing us our election, it's costing us our election, it's playing out to an election. Why are you talking about ramping up enforcement mechanism? Why are you talking about deploying law enforcement officials into the field to deal with illegal small-scale mining? That is, if you want, kissing the election before we even begin the campaign. And so be careful and be that and be that. And then you also have people who feel that they are parties in government. So the CEO of the Commission and I have been dealing with these situations on a daily basis. And explaining to them is just difficult. Perhaps even these kinds of utterances I'm making may have consequences in terms of people's view of myself from your party. But those do not have any impact or any influence on the decisions we make. Those do not influence the president, they do not influence me, they do not influence the government. What ought to influence us and what does influence us? The national interest, the public interest.
That's the Lands and Natural Resources Minister, Samuel Abujinapo there. Let me bring in the convener of the Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining, Dr. Kenneth Ashibe. We are grateful for your time here on the Midday News. So a number of calls have been made, all not specific to the Media Coalition, but I would like you to speak to all because the minister has been reacting. Amongst others, the call for a ban on small-scale mining. The economy will collapse, he says.
Well, again, so let's make this point that what we are talking about is illegality. And so when you take Akonta Mines, that was pointed out by the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, confirmed by the Minerals Commission with Erastus' evidence that beyond even the Tano Nimiri Forest Reserve, they were on the banks of Tano also mining, breaching the buffer. They are not small-scale miners. When you take Heritage Imperial, that were given a prospecting or exploratory license, and they had entered into some forest reserve with excavators and doing things that they called, that they themselves in their court document called mining operations, they are not small-scale mining. If you go to all the forest reserves, those miners that are in there who are perpetuating those illegalities, they are not small-scale miners. So we should bear in mind that we should not be talking about illegal small-scale mining. We should not be talking about illegal mining.
Mm.
And so there are some responsible small-scale miners who mine properly, and there are some large-scale miners who are irresponsible. So if you look at the labor document and then also the document from the Media Coalition, we, for example, were stating specifically a ban on, not even a ban, just enforcement that the fact that mining on water bodies in the buffer and in the forest is an illegality. So if either we're going to go the El Salvador way where we say we're banning all mining, or we go to the point where we enforce areas that it is illegal to mine on the water bodies, buffers of the water bodies in the forest, in the forest reserves as well.
Okay.
So that is very, very specific in terms of what the asks are. And again, it is important to read what the labor unions themselves said. And we have laws already in place. The only thing is that you need a state of emergency so that the president is giving extra power to be able to ensure that we deal with the crisis that is currently confronting us.
Okay, but he also announced that at least there's been some police deployment and they are contemplating military deployment as well. That state of national emergency that we are calling for, it looks like we're getting there, aren't we?
Well, unfortunately, we're getting there too slowly. MFI, you have a child who is hemorrhaging and needs critical surgery that might be risky, might be painful and all of that. You're not going to wait beating about the bush and all of that. It is important for the president to know that you, in the month of August, if you have turbidity of 14,000 NTUs, and already you also have climate change playing with us, and there's drought happening, if you are not careful and you wait all this time pussyfooting around the challenges that are confronting us and you don't act decisively, it might be too late, it might be irreversible. So it is important that power, you see, because the thing that the minister said, the military police going, we are not too sure the conditions under which they are going in at, and that is what we've been doing since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And we still are able to get turbidity at 14,000 NTUs in August.
Okay.
So it is urgent that we get that extra power.
At least with the responses that you're getting so far, does it put on hold the actions or the series of actions that you're hoping?
You see, again, the minister, I hear you play so it's his voice. But if you listen, if you read the statement that was issued, it begs belief. You think that the minister does not realize the fact that we are in a crisis. But that response does not address the crisis that we're currently. These regional ministers have been at it for since when?
Well, but this statement came earlier before this media interaction, I should say. I should at least give you that information.
I agree. But you see, MFA, if we need things that are definite, which we can hold on to. But so what, and at this point, because we are in a crisis, I think the thing has gone beyond the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources. It needs the President himself to act on the challenges that is facing us, to be able to deal decisively. You know, in the UK, when they had the challenges with the routes, they set up a special court, and people were taken to the court immediately, and punishments were... And so because of the decisive way in which they handled it, they were able to nip this thing in the bud. But look at the way we are handling this thing, and how long have we been crying out, over 2 weeks, consistently. And we're not getting any response. We need to hear the president like we heard him when we're in COVID.
Okay.
Where he was addressing, he is the commander in chief. He is the only one we voted for. He has executive president. You know, we have an executive president. The minister and all of that, they act for him on his behalf. But in the crisis, you want to hear your father.
We are grateful. That's Dr. Kenneth Ashibe there. He's a convener for the Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining, reacting to the latest responses from the Lands and Natural Resources Minister, Samola Bujinapo. While some leading men of God have also added their voices for a halt in the Galamse menace. My colleague Kwikwa Sante joins me in studio with what more we're learning. So who are these men of God and what are they demanding?
So about 20 top Christian leaders, including Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams, Archbishop Charles Ajinasari, Bishop Dark Heward Mills, Apostle General Sam Kranchian, Bishop Takiya Boy, Reverend Eastwood Anaba, Robert Ampia, Kofi Steve Mensah, and a host of them, numbering close to 20. They say they are calling on institutions such as the Water Resources Commission and the EPA to enforce stricter regulation to ensure that the Minerals and Mining Act is upheld. It is essential that these bodies fulfill their mandate of protecting our natural resources. In addition, CSOs, environmental groups, and other stakeholders must intensify the advocacy efforts. We commend the media, especially the bold and courageous journalists and individuals who have risked their life. They end by saying, as God's word warns us, quote, "Woe unto those who plant iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. A morning light, they carry it out because it is in their power to do so. It is time for all to repent and turn from these destructive ways of illegal mining."
Thank you very much, Kwikwa Sante, there with details of what the men of God are saying in the land. Now, cocoa farmer groups are divided over the increase in cocoa farm gate prices. On Wednesday, government announced a bag of cocoa will be bought for 3,000 cedis. Well, this represents a 45% increase from the last price increase, which was 2,070 cedis. We'll get to hear from a cocoa farmers group shortly, but first listen to Minister for Food and Agriculture Dr. Brian A. Champong announcing the prices increase yesterday. Well, the minister also explained that Cocoa Board has enough funds to purchase from farmers and will work hard to achieve its target.
The most significant one that was worth announcing was the increase from 1,300 2,070. So in announcing a new price, you have to now relate it to what announcement you made at the beginning of your season. And at the beginning of last year's season, 2023, as I announced in TEPA, announced by the president in TEPA, as against the opening of this new season, is 129.6%. And that is very, very clear. But I'm not too sure why you say that Cocoa Board has no money. It is a wrong impression. It should never be put out there, okay? Cocoa Board is well positioned to buy its crops from its farmers and trade same, okay? So nowhere has government reported or Cocoa Board mentioned that he has no money to buy cocoa. And we are hoping that notwithstanding the El Nino, we will bounce back strong into the 650,000s before hopefully we can change the trajectory to higher numbers. So yes, we have for the purpose of our calculations based on research done on all the cocoa farms. So with that planning, we're pegging it at a conservative 650,000, and we'll continue to employ the tools that helps us to increase those numbers.
Well, the president of the Concerned Cocoa Farmer Association, Nana Obuadie Boatimbonsu, says the farmer groups are divided on the latest increase, as some farmers say the increase is enough, while others would have wished for up to 7,000 cedis a bag.
The price that was announced has brought a lot of confusion among the farmers, because the farmer groups have been divided, and then others are calling for 6,000, others are calling for 5,000, others are calling for 7,000, others also are saying that the price that came is good. And then it is good for them. So with our side, we've talked to some of our farmers, and we are trying to engage most of other farmers for all of us to come together.
Were you consulted in the making of the Cocoa Board and the ministry seek your input?
Well, with the Concerned Farmers Association of Ghana, we're not consulted, but then there are other groups that are on the board of the Cocoa Board, which they went for a table panel discussion for them to come out with such a price. They demand from the farmers, I mean the other groups and other people that is coming, it is very high, and the tension among the cocoa farmers is very seriously and very high. And if due things are not being worked out properly, I think we will lose a lot of cocoa within this era.
The situation that pertains in neighboring Ivory Coast or Cote d'Ivoire, for instance, where most of the farmers are tempted to smuggle their cocoa to. My colleague, Mami Senior Mitchell Thompson, joins me in studio with what we know. So, Mami, how does this compare to Ivory Coast pricing?
Indeed, MFSO, the government's farm gate price represents about 45% increment compared to what was done in April this year, which was from 2,070 Ghana cedis to about 3,000 cedis for this cocoa season. Now, prior to this increment, Ghana was charging relatively lower prices than Cote d'Ivoire. Currently, Cote d'Ivoire is charging 1,500 CFA per kilogram of cocoa, which is like 40 Ghana cedis per kilogram. Mm. And that translates to about 2,560 Ghana cedis for a 64 kilogram bag of cocoa, while Ghana was charging 2,070 cedis. Now, the increase brings Ghana up a little bit above Ivory Coast. Ghana is now charging 3,000 cedis per bag, which is about 440 Ghana cedis higher than the current price charged by Cote d'Ivoire. However, this situation may change as Cote d'Ivoire has yet to announce the farm gate price for the 2024-2025 cocoa season.
Okay, thank you very much, Mami Senior Mitchell Thompson there, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra, in Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM, live on myjoyonline.com. We're live in all 16 regions on X Spaces on Facebook, supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams. We've been hearing that President Akufo-Addo has ordered police and contemplating also potential military deployment to crack down on illegal small-scale mining amid growing calls for immediate action. Also, when we return from the break, we have sport and we have our disabled series. We bring you the story of a senior high school student with visual impairment who refuses to let discrimination stand in the way of becoming a lawyer.
Some of them also hate us naturally. I came together with my colleagues. We advise each other, encourage each other to show the world that they are also useful. I'm studying to become a lawyer or a human rights activist.
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
The luckiest
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Here's to the friends who dialed *712# and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is everywhere.
Dial *712# now. Join in the luckiest winning celebration every 1st July 2024. Over dial *712# now. I can swear to ticket as a group, individual, and also even as a community. Now, win is the car cashier prizes are cashier in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712# now. Join in the winning streak now.
The luckiest
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
Thanks for staying with us on the Midday News on Joy 99.7 FM. Mubarak, what do we have?
Yes, Emma, so following the unfit state of the Baba Yara Sports Stadium, the Sports Ministry has directed the GFA to seek CAF's approval for the Accra and Legon stadiums for Ghana's next home match in the 2025 AFCON qualifiers. However, the two facilities are also not in good shape. Joy Sports editor Fento Tahiru. Fento has more.
The Accra Sports Stadium was only approved last season for the preliminary round matches of the CAF Confederation Cup, and Dreams FC played one game there before that approval was overturned because of all the litany of issues at the stadium. The bathrooms are a complete eyesore. The dressing rooms are substandard. The pitch itself is not in great shape. And the media centre requires a lot of work. Sports Ministry statement said that they've done most of the things, but you have to do all of the things per CAF's requirement. The University of Ghana Stadium, although it was only completed this year, has its own issues. It doesn't even have a media stand. The pitch is more terrible than the one we saw at the Baba Yara Sports Stadium. The floodlight calibrations have issues. So both stadiums that the Ministry of Youth and Sports is hoping could get approved to host this game have plenty of issues.
Yep, so Joy Sports Editor Fentu Tairo Fentu with
Football
that report.
Football Nation without a standard pitch.
Well, we'll take it like that.
Oh, we can't take it like that, Master. Now, let's talk about our disabled series. And Pell Aseye Gasu, a student with visual impairment at the Adidoma Senior High School, refuses to let discrimination stand in the way of her dreams. Despite facing harsh judgments and being told persons with visual impairment cannot lead, she remains focused on her goal of becoming a lawyer. The 19-year-old is determined to change the narrative, advocating for inclusion and equal opportunities for all. Emmanuel Jiveno has more in our Joy News This Abled series.
Despite the strides made over the years to eliminate all forms of discrimination against persons living with disabilities, there is still a lot of work to be done.
Majority of them don't understand our way of life. Some of them also hate us naturally because of our situation. Some of them think we are unuseful, so getting close to us is very difficult. When we came, we were interested in finding out whether this school has ever had someone who is visually impaired leading the school. Some of our past seniors told us that they went for positions, but due to their situation, they were disqualified. And one teacher even confirmed that they asked him whether he has picked the broom to sweep before. And that question alone disqualified him due to his problem. It does not work.
Discrimination in any form undermines the principle of inclusivity, the belief that every student has unique strength and should be valued for their contributions rather than their disabilities.
I'm not giving up because my parents encourage me a lot to learn and my teachers as well. So giving up is not in my blood.
Points line by line, and then
Pell and a host of her colleagues have a mission to change the narrative about persons living with disabilities.
I came together with my colleagues. We advise each other, encourage each other that some of us must join some group in the school to prove to others that we can also do things like, let's say, speaking up for ourselves or showing their talent to show the world that they are also useful.
Despite the challenges Pell face on a daily basis, they still have their eyes fixated on their future plans in making a difference in their communities.
I see my future as bright because I'm studying to become a lawyer or a human rights activist. So I see my future to be very bright.
And that's our This Abled series put together by Emmanuel Jiveno. I was supposed to take you on the campaign trail in your election headquarters. I'm unable to. I'm really out of time. But the NPP flag bearer, Dr. Mahmoud Baumia, is in the Lejakuku constituency and he's pledged to reduce electricity tariffs by 50% if elected president in the December polls. Well, also, we've been hearing from the former Minister for Gender, Children and Social Protection, Cynthia Mamli Morrison, who says she was punished for supporting the presidential bid of Kennedy Ohinie Jeppong. MNJ Maxwell, what's
yeah.
that? Are you getting ready for the mini clinic?
I'm told you're building
some mansion. We need to go to the Accra Mall this weekend.
Yeah, one-stop shop to get everything housing. I can't wait for that. And I just can't wait for the discounts.